Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now that was an excellent word that Pastor Clive brought on Sunday about culture. And I'm going to talk about one particular aspect of that culture this morning. He likened the culture to being the soil in which we are rooted. Last year, just before my wife's birthday, I asked her the inevitable question, what do you want for your birthday? And when you get to our time of life, you don't really want to accumulate any more things. You've accumulated enough things already. And she's not a jewelry person, and it's always a bit difficult to know what to buy for her. But I got an unexpected answer. She said, well, what I'd like for my birthday is a gardener. Over the years, I've always been responsible for the grass, and Caroline has looked after the flower beds, but that's become increasingly difficult for her, just not quite so agile and as we used to be. And the garden has somewhat suffered as a result of that. So we've always welcomed the help that various students and others have given us, but it was time for our garden to have a bit of a makeover. So we duly found a professional gardener, a lady who is trained horticulturally and obviously knows her, I was going to say her onions, but actually she knows her flowers. And so she came and did a sort of prospective look at our garden. And she said to me, very gently and very graciously, when did you last feed the soil? And I the answer to that was never. Feed the soil? I'd already actually got one of these treatment courses for the lawn, because over the years, the lawn, which wasn't in a great shape when we took over the property, but it had got progressively worse. And so I had already put some treatment on the lawn. But it never occurred to me to enrich the soil. And she gently said, well, all these plants take nutrients out of the soil, and the nutrients have to be replaced. So, what does that say to us spiritually? The soil is the culture that determines our lifestyle here at Kingdom Faith. But the soil, the culture, has to be enriched. Because we're drawing stuff out of the culture, but we need to see God put some nutrient back into the culture so that we can draw out more and more richly. And I discovered with the treatment of the lawn that it began to go bald in places. Because, of course, what it was doing was killing off the weeds. But then there was a nice, lush growth. I hadn't treated it before because I thought if I treat the lawn, it'll grow even more quickly and need even more cutting. But actually, the lawn looked so much better as a result of the treatment, because the stuff that I put down contained two things. One thing to kill off the weeds, and another element to enrich the growth. So, of course, if the culture is enriched, the growth will be enriched, and the quality of the plants will be enriched. And I've been doing some writing on Ephesians recently, and there's a whole series of scriptures I'm going to take you through very quickly from Ephesians, in the truth version, of course. The wise always bring the truth version with them on Tuesdays. In chapter 3, there's verses 17 to 19 here in the truth version, but I'm beginning where it says, I also pray that your lives will be deeply rooted in his love. You've heard me say many, many times that when there is true revival, the most impacting thing, the thing that is obvious more than anything else, is the incredible love that people have for God, for one another, and for anybody else that moves. There is just this amazing love. So this soil needs to keep being enriched in love so that those who are deeply rooted in it will be enriched in love. And you see, what Paul is saying here is, let your lives be deeply rooted in love. You remember in the parable of the sower, the seed that was on the rocky soil and was not deeply rooted did not survive. The seed that produced the fruit was deeply rooted and weed-free. It wasn't like the seed that fell among the thorns and thistles that choked the good growth. So we've got the first lesson here that we need to learn, that we've got to remain deeply rooted in his love. What the enemy wants to do is to uproot people. He wants to uproot them from where they're growing, because then they will cease to grow and they will cease to be fruitful. It's different when you transplant someone because of the call of God. But the enemy wants to simply uproot people. And of course, when somebody is uprooted, they can survive for a time, but slowly they will wither. But his purpose is for us to remain deeply rooted in his love. If we're deeply rooted in love, we will be drawing from his love all the time. It's not just a question of, well, I have the love of the Holy Spirit. God has poured his love into my heart by the Holy Spirit. I will keep drawing on that love because my roots are deeply embedded in that love. That means that there will be an increase of his love in my life. You see, what determined the culture of Kingdom Faith? Well, you've all been through the jump into church, and you know the tree that is used to illustrate how Kingdom Faith over the years has developed. But you see, what were the roots? The roots were revival. The roots were in this amazing move of God's love that we experienced first in Luton, then in the community in the 70s, 80s. So that is the culture It's also a culture of other things, as we shall see. But as Clive was saying on Sunday, the culture is determined by the word, by prayer, by worship. And what I'm focusing on this morning is the word aspect of that. That the word is essentially expressing to us the love of God, who he is and what he has done for us in Jesus. Everything that he has done in love. And so if we are deeply rooted in that love, his purpose is that everything we do is to be done in love. If we can't do it in love, then we shouldn't do it. It's as simple as that. So I also pray that your lives will be deeply rooted in his love, that you will be so steadfast in this love that, like all those who believe in Jesus and who are set apart for his purposes as his saints, you will be able to comprehend something of the amazing extent of Christ's love. This love is so great, so high, deep, wide, and so on, that you cannot know it all. For the rest of your life, you will never come to the end of understanding that love, of experiencing that love. You will never be able to say, I've got it all. That's the point. Although he's poured his love into our hearts, there's always more of that love to draw on, more of that love to be revealed to us, more of that love to be expressed in our lives. And this is what Paul is praying for. The church in Ephesus was probably the most spiritually alive and alert church of all the New Testament churches. All the churches that he wrote to, and yet this is his prayer for them. Be deeply rooted in his love. That is what is necessary for a believer, he is saying. Because the only thing that matters is faith working through love. And that is the motto of Kingdom Faith, and has been ever since the beginning, because we're a people of faith, but we're a people of love. And as Paul says when he's writing to Corinthians, if you have faith without love, it's worth nothing. So this love is absolutely essential to everything. This love seems boundless and unlimited, and through that love, you can be filled to the fullest extent with God himself. You see, if you say, I want more of God in my life, what you are saying is, I want more love in my life, because God is love. And the more of his love you have in your life, the more of God you will have. That will lead to all kinds of other things. But if you like, it's the essential nature, the predominant ingredient of the soil in which we live. If we go on to the beginning of chapter 4, this has a particular significance for me personally, because when I was a young boy and first came to the Lord, most of you will have heard the testimony of how that happened, although I didn't come from a Christian family, didn't know anything really about the scriptures and so on. When I first had a Bible, God spoke to me through two particular scriptures. And I mean, at that age, I wouldn't have had a clue what they meant. But it was as if he kept speaking them to me, and so I sort of knew these off by heart in the old authorized version. One was Isaiah 40, comfort ye, my people, saith your God, as it was in the old version. But the other were these opening verses of chapter 4 of Ephesians. I am a prisoner for the Lord's sake and encourage you to live in a way worthy of your great calling, or the great calling you have received from Him. Live a life worthy of your great calling. You see, God doesn't have a little calling. His calling on your life is a great calling. Because Paul isn't writing just to apostles or those in leadership. He's writing to the whole church in Ephesus. So he's saying you've got a great calling from God. Now live up. Live a life worthy of that great calling. Now, what he is saying, you see, is you can only do that if you are deeply rooted in his love. That's what he's been talking about immediately before this. The way you live a life worthy of your high calling is to keep drawing on that love, seeing an increase of that love, seeing that love impact your heart and life more and more. Now, of course, as that process takes place, God deals with the things that are a denial of love. The selfishness, the self-concern, and all those things of the flesh, which are a denial of the spirit of love. But he also deals with all the unloving attitudes, the unforgiveness, the judgment, and so on, that we can have towards other people. He is getting rid of the weeds and enriching the growth as a result. Weed-free soil produces better plants. I'm no horticulturalist, but I can understand that much. Now, what does it mean to live up to your high calling? Well, verse 2 says, this involves remaining humble and gentle. Those are two important aspects of love. Jesus had a humble, gentle heart. That's how he described his heart in Matthew 11. A humble, gentle heart. If Jesus had a humble, gentle heart, we sure need humble, gentle hearts. Humble, gentle hearts can express the love of God. A proud heart can't express love. A harsh heart doesn't express love. But love is expressed in humility and in gentleness. Being patient and sensitive. Love isn't expressed in impatience. Over the years, the Lord, by his grace and mercy, has made me a more patient person than I used to be. My wife even says that, so it must be true. But, you know, I used to hate queuing because I had so much to do with my life. I thought, I haven't got time to queue. But then the Lord taught me, well, pray for the other people in the queue then. Then it won't be a waste of time, will it? So, you know, you can always use things creatively. Why not have love for people that you don't know, but you happen to be in the queue with them? And God can even make you aware of needs that need to be prayed for in those people. So this involves being humble and gentle, being patient and sensitive to the need of others out of your love for them. Love focuses on the need of those around you instead of on yourself. Love gives. love blesses, love encourages, love builds up. Love is creative, love is positive. So it's very easy for us to see how we're getting on in the love stakes by how positive we are and how we allow that love to pour out of us to others. Do everything you can to maintain the unity you have with other believers in the power of the Spirit by remaining at peace with them. You see, love draws people together in unity. The Lord wants to uproot people from that love to cause disunity, disharmony, division. So Paul says, well, maintain the unity that comes out of this love. If you go down to verse 7, yet at the same time, each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling, and it is Christ himself who imparts this grace to us. Out of his love for us, God will always give us the grace to do whatever he calls us to do. And because whatever he calls us to do is to be done in love, there will always be sufficient grace to enable us to love. So that soil is full of love, but it's full of grace, and we can draw on that love, we can draw on that grace to enable us not just to do, not just to be obedient to what God is saying, but to be obedient in love, to really be expressing the love of God, to be doing what he's calling us to do with a good heart, with a good, right, loving attitude. You know, you can obey, but either in a legalistic way or in a quite resentful way. But God wants it always, our obedience always, to be done in love. Hallelujah. That grace is always available to us. He goes on and talks about the various callings. We're all very well aware of those verses. And if we go to verse 15, because he says that all the fivefold ministries are there to really equip the saints, to build them up, to see the church is being built up by everybody fulfilling their particular tasks. And then he talks about maturity, because ultimately what these ministries are doing is to create maturity in the believers. And then in verse 15, he explains what that maturity means. The mature speak the truth to others out of love for them, and therefore in a loving way. So there it is this word again in love. The more mature you are, the more loving you will be. The more of this love that will be expressed. It's not a question of how long you've been a Christian, but of how much love is expressed in your life. That actually, more than anything else, determines the real level of your maturity. But it's faith working through love. They're believers who keep growing in their faith, becoming more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body to which they belong. You see, the head determines what goes on in the body. So what concerns the head? Faith working through love. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who gave himself for us in love. What concerns him, what you see in the mature, is faith working through love. Everything they do is in love, but it's also coming out of faith. This is the culture, this is the soil in which we are rooted. It's love soil, but it's faith soil. And if these two things are functioning more and more fully in our lives, Paul says we become more like the head. Now, who knows that the more we are like the head, the more fruitful we're going to be? the more effective we're going to be, both individually and as the body. If the whole body is growing in love and in faith, then the whole body is going to become more like the head. What does that look like? Revival. You see, we want revival for a generation, right? So what we need God to do is to enrich the soil so that everybody that is rooted in it will be enriched. And all those that come who are not yet part of the body and get rooted in that soil, they live revival. Because it's revival soil. Revival atmosphere. It's like a... I can't think of the word. It becomes a way of life because it is the ethos of those particular people. And God is creating that ethos, but we need to see more enriching of the soil, more enriching of the ethos. And only God can do that, but he does it in response to what we do. You see, what's the point of him enriching the soil with love if we don't keep drawing on that love? But the more we keep drawing on that love, the more he will enrich the soil with that love. The more we depend upon him, the more he will enrich that soil with faith. Not just enrich our personal lives, but you see, the more corporately we draw on the love and the faith, the more the ethos or the culture changes, becomes more loving, more full of faith. And the result of that is that it becomes more powerful. I'm looking forward to seeing when people with needs come in without anybody praying for them, without any words of knowledge or anything, just by being amongst us, their needs get met. The power of God just comes upon them and they get miraculously healed of major things without actually anybody being aware of it. And that becomes a regular thing, not an occasional thing. It's almost the expectation that we have that anybody who comes amongst us will be impacted by the power of God, that that becomes the soil, that it's soil of love, soil of faith, therefore soil of power. Hallelujah. So if we go to the beginning of chapter 5, therefore, because you are his dearly loved children, seek to be like God your Father. What is God your Father like? Well, he is love. So the more love, the more you are like Father. The child is to be like the parent. The child is to be like the father. So what does that look like? Well, verse 2 says, live a life full of love. Christ has commanded us to love others as he has loved us by giving his life in sacrifice for us, an offering to God that was totally pleasing to him. To live in such love means that there must be, and then Paul talks about a whole series of things, the negative things that are a contradiction to love. And so he says, have nothing to do with all those things because they are things of impurity. They're not things of purity. He says, the end of verse 3, you see, all these things are totally out of order for people who belong to God, His holy people. You should be careful how you use your mouths, so you do not speak in any obscene or foolish way, and you avoid all jokes with proper innuendos. Why? Because not only are your actions, but your words are also deeply rooted in love. And therefore you want to honor God, not only by what you do, but by what you say. You don't want your conversation to be lacking in love. All these things are so out of place that you should not even want to be involved in any of them. How much better to use your mouth to thank God for His amazing love and blessings. Amen. Then he talks about walking in the light. Verse 8, you lived in darkness in your old life, but now you are the children of light, living in the one who is the light. So live as children who walk in the light of God's truth, the Word. What is the evidence of such a walk? That you express God's goodness, righteousness, and truth, and that you know what to do to please Him. You see, out of your love for God, you do know what to do to please Him. You do know that. If somebody asks you the question, how can you please the Lord, you would be able to answer them. And if they asked you another question, how can you grieve the Lord, you would also be able to answer that question. It isn't that you're ignorant. You know what pleases the Lord. And you know what you need to do to please the Lord. You know that it pleases Him to love. You know that it pleases Him to trust Him, to have faith. You know it pleases Him to see His power working through you. You know, therefore, that it pleases Him to see you walking in the light, walking in the truth, and saying no to everything that is a contradiction of the truth. Everything that is a contradiction of faith, everything that is a contradiction of love. You know that it pleases Him when you trust Him so that His power can work in you and through you. And you know it displeases Him when you trust in yourself. And you see what Paul is saying, well, you know how to please Him. Therefore, if you live to please Him, you will express His goodness and His righteousness, and His truth. He is our righteousness, isn't it? It's not that we're expressing a righteousness of our own, but we're expressing His righteousness in what we do and say. Then if we skip over the husbands and wives and children and slaves and owners and all the rest, and go on to chapter 6, all this is encouraging and challenging in itself, but it's made that much more challenging because we have an enemy. An enemy who is opposed to all these things that please the Lord. An enemy who wants us to grieve Him, not please Him. And so Paul says, in verse 12 of chapter 6, your battle is not against people, but against the negative spiritual forces that influence and control them. Those negative influences, you see, are the very opposite of love, the opposite of faith, and the opposite of godly power. Their power is demonic. So your battle is not against people, but against the negative spiritual forces that influence and control them. What does this mean? It means we've got to keep the soil free from their influence. Hello?
Yes.
It's not just a question of feeding the soil with nutrients, but we've got to have the weed killer too. That will kill the weeds but preserve the good plants. So our battle is against the spiritual rulers, authorities and powers that are at work in this world that is in bondage to the darkness of sin. They are in league with those evil spiritual forces that exist outside the world. Some of these demonic forces are at work all around us all the time. Others are the demonic powers that seek to rule over towns, nations, continents, all these various authorities that the enemy has. But of course, our God is greater.
Right.
Yes.
And he has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. So individually, we have to keep our patch, the part of the soil where you are planted yourself. You've got to keep that free from the influence of these things. Who knows that if you don't come against these things and use the authority that God has given you, then the soil is going to become contaminated. See, that's why God has given us that authority, to use it. But then corporately, we've got to use it for the sake of the whole body. And some people are not really alert and alive to the fact that, you know, we do have this enemy that is trying to pollute the soil, trying to uproot people, trying to cause divisions, trying to do anything and everything that would negate this faith and love and power that God is wanting us to work in. So that's why we have to be a people of spiritual victory.
Amen.
I never like to call it spiritual warfare, because warfare suggests that you're going to have a battle and we're not sure about what the outcome will be. Spiritual victory says, well, Amen. Jesus has won the victory, and what we do is to apply that victory because he has given us authority over all the work of the evil one. But of course, it's something we have to do. It's not something that automatically happens, because that's why Jesus gave us the authority. And you don't get victory over the enemy by asking the Lord to do it. He has given you authority over all the power of the enemy so that you will establish the victory in your life, and that together we will establish the victory in Kingdom Faith. So all these scriptures is like this theme of love that runs right the way through this epistle. It's a great doctrinal statement. But that love didn't start with Paul's prayer in chapter 3. It's there right from the very beginning, when he's talking about how God has lavished his love upon us, that in love he has predestined us to be his children. In love he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In love, he has done all that he has done through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The whole thing is really an epistle about the practical outworking of God's love. But you would also say it's a faith epistle, because you see, what you must understand about God is he does not see love there and faith there and power there as sort of three separate entities. He sees them all as one. that where there is faith working through love, there will inevitably be the release of God's power. So, you focus on the love and the faith and the power follow. Because everything is to be done in love. And everything comes out of the fact that we're deeply rooted in love. The more you are deeply rooted in that love, the more you will believe. And the more you believe, the more there is the release of God's power. And we love because He first loves us. So what does Jesus say to the disciples just before He goes to the cross? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain. Live continuously in my love. You're placed in my love, you're deeply rooted in my love, now remain in my love. As Paul is saying, draw from that love. And then last, right at the end of this epistle, Paul really talks about enriching the soil. He says, may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ impart both love and faith to you. Now you would think, in the way that he's written, well, this is probably the most loving church, and it's probably the most believing church of all the New Testament churches. But Paul's parting shot to them is, may God impart more of his love. May God impart more of his faith. May God impart more of his grace. May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ impart both love and faith to you, together with the grace that he delights to pour out freely on all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a never ending love. Can you hear what he's saying? The more you love him, the more deeply rooted you want to be in that love, the more love he will pour into your life. But as he pours his love into your life, so he pours more faith into your life, he pours more grace into your life, so that you will see the power of God at work in your life and through you in the lives of others. This is the soil of the Word. And of course the prayer draws on the riches that are in that soil. And we worship God because He is the one and the only one who can do that, so that His kingdom will come and His will be done in our lives, in this church, in this nation, on earth as it is in heaven. So this is a wonderful opportunity today. Every day is a wonderful opportunity, of course. But we have the time to focus today on that love and just drawing deeply on that love and the faith and the grace. But just focus on the love. Let's all stand. Now, first of all, thank God that He's planted you. Not just in any soil, He hasn't planted you in the desert. He hasn't planted you in weedy soil. And even though you may be a student who is here only temporarily, for this season of your life, he's planted you in the soil of kingdom faith. Now just thank the Lord that you are going to be deeply rooted, because this is the soil of his love. We're not comparing ourselves with any other church or anything stupid like that. But just thank him that he has deeply rooted you, not just individually, not just as an isolated person, but he's deeply rooted you in the soil of his love, in his body here. You know, one of the things that Paul says is you are God's garden. You're his household, but you're also his garden. Hallelujah. Now let's pray, not just that our lives will be enriched with that love, but the soil will be further enriched, that God will enrich the soil of love in which we're deeply rooted, because so many of us are drawing more and more out of that love. God enriches the soil. Hallelujah. Because he's not going to let that soil dry out. If we draw on that love, he will enrich the soil with more and more love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And just tell the Lord how you personally want to draw on that love, for that love to have a greater impact on your life. That whatever you do will be done in love, whatever you say will be said in love. That love will be your motive behind all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him that you do know what pleases the Lord. And you can tell him, Lord, I can only love because you first loved me. And in response to that wonderful love, I want to do what pleases you. I want to live in the way that pleases you. I want to fulfill in my life what pleases you. And I take the shield of faith against everything that grieves you. I don't want anything to do with anything that grieves you. I only want to deal with that which blesses you, which pleases you, which honors you. Pastor Clive said a very important thing right at the end on Sunday, that wherever that culture is, there will be honor. Honor for God, honor for one another. Let's just pray for that as we deeply rooted in this love. So, Lord, we will honor you more and more. There will be more and more of the fear of God in our lives. That we will honor one another, Lord. In the way we relate, in the way we think, in the attitudes that we have towards each other. That we will honor those that you put in leadership and authority, those that you have raised up to care for us and to nurture us and to lead us further into your ways and your will. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Mighty, glorious King. Pura la bazatari aledo bakala sitri sanduma. O ratapara zatari aletuba. Yes, thank you. We know what pleases you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. O razatapara zitri sanduba kala zitaba. Now, Lord, we want to be like the mature. They're becoming more and more like the head.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we want to be loving as you're loving, to live lives full of love.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Offering our lives to you in a way that is totally pleasing to you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to express your goodness, righteousness, and truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, pray these things over your life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Lord, we believe that you want Kingdom Faith to be revival soil.
Yes.
Because we can't fulfill your call for revival for a generation unless we are. So we thank you that you are daily enriching this soil. Thank you, Lord, that during these 20 days you are enriching the soil, ready for all that you want to do this year. We believe today, Lord, you're going to enrich the soil. That this evening, as we meet together as a body, you're going to enrich the soil. Not just enrich our lives, you're going to enrich the soil. Korata parazata parazito. Baparazatari aleto bakarazita. Baparazatari aleto bakarazita di sandama. Baparazatari aleto bakarazita di sandama. Bapara zatari aleto bakala zitri satuba. Bapara zatari aleto bakala zitri sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That gardener said to me, if you feed the soil, then the soil will produce for you. So, Lord, we ask you to feed the soil. So that even those who come amongst us, all those hundreds that of unsaved people that come into the revival center at various times during the week, that, Lord, their lives are going to be impacted.
Amen.
Things are going to grow and develop and change far more rapidly. They won't know why. We won't know how, but it's just going to be the result of you enriching the soil.
Amen.
And we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you. The culture is going to be enriched. The ethos is going to be enriched. The atmosphere is going to be enriched. More of your love, more of your presence, more of your faith, more of your power. Oh, rasatapa karasitari aletuba. Vaparasatari aletuba karasitari sanduma. Vaparasatari aletuba karasitari sanduba karasita. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your wonderful name, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. Kura la bazataria leto bakalasita ba. Bazataria leto bakalasita risato bakalasandama. Now we're going to exercise our authority against all the disruptive, negative, divisive works of the enemy. First, you need to do that over your own life. That nothing that is a contradiction to God's love, faith, power, His grace, is going to come in and influence you. Come on, just take that shield of faith against all the things the enemy throws at you. All those accusations that you don't love sufficiently, that you don't trust sufficiently, that there's not enough power in your life. We just take the shield of faith against that and we say, that love is going to increase. That faith is going to increase. That power is going to increase. We're not listening to any negatives. We just take the shield of faith against all the lying, accusing, deceptive works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Nobody is going to uproot us. In the name of Jesus. Now come on, you have to talk to the enemy, remember. You don't do that in tongues. Right? When you come against the enemy, you don't use tongues. You are exercising your authority. He who speaks in a tongue speaks to God. You need to address the enemy. You are not going to have any power over me, any influence in my life, in the name of Jesus. I just confront you with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That blood washes me, cleanses me. That blood is my protection. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That blood that was shed for me in love. No work of the enemy is going to cross that bloodline of protection all around me, all around those I love, all around my family. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Right now, let's together come against any way in which the enemy is trying to influence the body. Oh, we, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every divisive work of the enemy, every attempt to uproot people, to take them out of the love where they are prospering and being nurtured. We bind every evil demonic power that is seeking to deceive and to draw people away from the place where God has planted them, where God wants them to grow and prosper. And we just tell all you spirits, you have no right. You have no place of entrance into the life of Kingdom Faith or any member of Kingdom Faith or anybody who relates to Kingdom Faith in the name of Jesus. All your disruptive tactics are to cease immediately. Right now, the Word of God says that we overcome in three ways. Through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and because we love not ourselves even unto death, which means that we are prepared to live not for ourselves but for others, to be faithful and true to God and His call, to live up to our high calling, no matter what it costs. Sometimes people forget that third thing, but that's what the Scripture says. It's not just the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but also because we're living those sacrificial lives that God calls us to live. So let's just pray over those things. We thank you, Lord, for the blood. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you that in that blood is total victory over all sin, over all fear, over all sickness, over every demonic power, over all the power of the evil one. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the word of our testimony, which is the word of faith. Thank you that the word of faith is near us. It is in our hearts and on our lips. And we praise you, Lord, that we speak those words of faith this morning, that we are able to walk in love. We are able to walk as the children of light. We are able to walk in that faith that you give us. We are able to see your power working in us and through us and pouring out of our lives. We refuse to listen to any lies that contradict that. We thank you, Lord, that this is the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, that we sacrifice our lives, our bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, to live in ways that are pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to remain faithful to the end. Yes. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Praise your mighty name. Praise your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's just pray these final words of Ephesians. May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ impart both love and faith to you, together with the grace that he delights to pour out freely on all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a never-ending love. What an amazing verse. May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ impart both love and faith to you, together with the grace that he delights to pour out freely on all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a never-ending love. Thank you, Lord, that this pleases you. We know that it pleases you to do this. And we thank you that this morning and throughout today, you're going to fulfill this word. And this evening as we meet together, Lord, you're going to impart love and faith and grace. You're going to enrich the soil. Yes. And you're going to enrich everybody whose lives are deeply rooted in the soil.
Amen.
And we just give you the glory. But Lord, as we meet together at lunchtime, you're going to enrich the soil. You're going to keep pouring out your love, your faith, your grace. Come on, let's really praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Pora tapara zatapara sita di sataria leto pacara sita. Papara zataria leto pacara sita di sangama. O papara zataria leto pacara sita di satu. O papara zataria leto pacara sita di sangama. Vazandaria leto pacara sita di sataria leto pacara sita. Basandaria lero bacara sitri, sataria lero bacara sinam. Brumdaria leto bacara sitri, sataria lero bacara sitri sanguin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. that you enrich us personally. Oh, with that love. Oh, with your faith as the perfecter of our faith. And with that power. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, this is going to be such a wonderful year. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Come on, let's really shout his praise.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.